you know, we had six boys and one girl. And Dad used to say to us boys in particular, it seemed like to me more than others, "Son, you're like a catfish. You're all mouth. Like a catfish, you're all mouth." And as that memory came to my mind, and I felt something maybe wanted to cringe, I heard the whisper, "But son, you're my mouthpiece. You're my mouthpiece. Nothing wrong with your mouth, because I'll fill it with good things." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I don't have to live under a judgment of a catfish. I'm not a catfish. I'm a holy mackerel. So we start accepting by revelation God's idea of who we are. Write it in my mind, Lord, that I might see myself in relationship to you. Who am I in Jesus? Who is Jesus in me? And you begin to believe the word. It's not vain imagination. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We by dare believe. And one challenge of this daring to believe is to believe that the one who has begun a good work is faithful to finish that work. Now, John, in writing in the third chapter of the first epistle, expresses that kind of experience when he says, "It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall see him as he is. For we shall be like him." Be like him. I don't know about, I think I know about you, because I have to say it for myself. Do every once in a while you see yourself in contrast to what you know God is calling you to do or be? That haunts me. God is calling me to learn to pray, and pray in such a way that he can heal the sick through me. He can cast out devils through me. I stir up more than I cast out. Amazing, isn't it? But God is challenging me. And when I see what he's calling me to and see myself in contrast, I somehow want to think, who am I to think that God is going to use me or can use me? You see, that is pride coming in through fear and unbelief. I believe the one who has chosen me has the time and the power to complete the task that he took on himself, to take me as I am and make me into what he is. That conformation, being conformed to his image, that process of kingdom living whereby we're changed from glory to glory as a result. So do you have that vision in your soul that there is locked up within you your destiny, divine destiny, to be conformed to the image of Jesus? Have a mind like his? Isn't it wonderful to be able to just sit with him and see, "Lord, I can see some thought patterns within me that reflect the negative. Let me move around, Brother Matt. I don't know where all that. But I can see some thought patterns within me that reflect the negatives. But Lord, through that, I realize there's a new dimension within me. And you're bringing forth the new through the old. And that which I would identify as the old thought forms is like the husk of the grain. In every husk, there is the kernel that has the power of the reproduced life. Let the hogs have the husk. You don't have to specialize on that. Live in the reality of who you are in Jesus. And you begin to accept that fellowship. And if you know that, then you know that everybody needs you. Everybody needs you. And you are willing to be who you are in Jesus in relationship to one another. We stop playing games about it. And we start yielding. And an idea will come. And you think, Lord, that's wonderful. And you step out in obedience. And the Lord blesses. And another step opens. And all of a sudden you're challenged. Yes, Lord, I did number one. I took step number two. And thank you. But Lord, this must not be you. This is too much to ask. Joyce, don't you let this get back to your mother. My wife watches TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. She calls it the religious, and she watches it religiously. And she can tell you every preacher that comes on there. You know, and I must confess to you, there are times when I want to say to her, but darling, I thought I was your preacher. I thought I was your favorite. You know, and I had something within me that, you know, we'll say it, really, really human. The old man. But I came home one night, oh, it's been about 2 or 3 months ago, and she said, now, darling, sit down here with me. I sat down. She said, now, I want you to hear my little preacher. So the program came on, and it was a fellow named Sharona, Mark Sharona, who pastors a church in Raleigh, North Carolina. I had never heard of him in my life. And boy, when he stood up, I thought he's in the right place with that bunch of Pentecostals. I mean, he was Italian, and he was a Holy Ghost Italian, and looked like it. I mean, he had on, you know, a most delicate green shirt you ever saw with a brown, beautiful brown suit and a tie that just was perfect. And shoes, alligator. At least. I mean, that boy was dot out. 2 or 3 rings on each finger. Man, I mean, he had it going. And almost turned me off until I began to listen. And that boy was anointed in the Lord. Oh, my, how he preached. It was just great. I mean, such profound psychological truth. Sue, you would have been proud. Sue's a psychologist. You would have been proud of this old Pentecostal boy. Was on the outside, you know, an Italian Holy Ghost man. But coming through his preaching was so profound and deep and worthwhile. And I was enraptured. I agreed with Francis. That was what she was waiting for. That was Marilyn back then. Because the first free Sunday I had, she said, let's go hear my little preacher. And we went to Raleigh. Well, before we left, I said, darling, let's go ahead and make our offering now, write the check for it, and then we won't have to write the check when we get there. How much do you think we ought to give this morning? She said, let's pray. So we prayed. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you. She gets bold around her little preacher. We prayed. I got the idea of $50. I thought that would be tremendously generous from one preacher to another, you know, independent Pentecostal church. So I was getting ready to write for 50, and she said, I heard 250. I thought, well, Lord, it's hers as much as it is mine. I wrote the check, $250. Put it in the envelope, put it in my pocket. Gave her back the check when we went to church. Made offering. I felt so proud of myself, being so generous. And then old Bart got up and began to share a vision that he had concerning ministry. And the Lord began to speak to my heart. Said, this is the reason I brought you here. I want you to have a part in fulfilling his vision. I thought, well, Lord, I'll pray for it. I can see what he's saying. And I agree with him, Lord. I'll stand with him. But you've got a little money left in the bank. I want you to write another check. I thought, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about, do you? I turned to Francis and I said, darling, you think we are supposed to help with that vision that he's got there? She looked at me and said, I was hoping you would hear it. I said, darling, we've given about all we can afford to give. She said, that's not what you preach. She said, I've heard you. The question you would say is, how much can you believe God to give through you? And I sat right there and had to practice what I preach. And faith comes from the Lord, so I said, Lord Jesus, how much can I believe you to give through me and Francis for this? And I heard, why not believe for $1,000? I'm a poor boy. And I thought, Lord, isn't it true that the devil always tries to get between me and you? But I sat right there and was challenged. All right, Jesus. It would, I'll do this so I get something. No. Lord, thank you. This is the kind of love you have for me. And I think this is about, just about empty the bank account anyway. But that's all right. That's your business. And Francis and I made the $1,000 commitment. Our dad wrote the check for it. And children, I was put in sheer glory. I have never known a sweeter anointing, a deeper peace, not self-justification, not just proud of me, but a sense of co-laborship that the Lord has used me to share with others in the way that he's used others to share with me. And children, I knew I was in the family. I knew I was in the family. When a Methodist preacher is led to give just about everything he's got to an independent Pentecostal work where the preacher wears fancy blue velvet shirts, whatever, all those judgmental things with it, and you can do it in victory. Now, what bugs you? Well, my daughter and her husband are going to help. No, but I'm not telling you this just to, you know, try to prove anything. I'm just saying, this is the way the Lord challenges us. We dare obey, and then it expands. It's a rippling effect. And before you know it, we realize, Lord, is there anyone you can't save? Is there anyone you don't want to save? Is there anyone you can't heal? Is there anyone you don't want to heal? Where have you drawn the line on your faith vision concerning the kingdom of God. Would you let that line be established by God through His Word and dare believe with His faith and love with His love by being to others what God has been to you through others? That's the word for tonight. Does it make sense to you? Let's be quiet for just a moment. Lord, you know those avenues in our life where it's been difficult for us to believe. You know where our failures loom so large in our own eyes. And we feel guilty. We're ashamed. We want to whip ourselves. Sometimes we want to whip others. We've prayed for them. We've witnessed to them. They're worse now than they were to start with. We're ready to give up on them. We say they just aren't kingdom material. And then you release your love. And we realize that you've hardly begun. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And your word says, be not weary in well-doing. So those areas where we've been a little, are tired and worn out from having struggled to try to get the job done, let us forget about those things that are behind and come to the task with a renewed vision and pray as if it were the first time we ever prayed. Thank you, Lord. These people that we've taken for granted and really stopped praying for them because we've sort of given up hope. Let us see who they are right now and yield ourselves to be renewed this weekend in a fresh revelation of amazing grace that is greater than all their sin. Praise God. Yes, Lord, I believe. But Lord, you put us together here that we might experience intimately here, face to face, microscopic examples of what you want to multiply through us in all the world. So not only show us people back home in our past lives that we've sort of given up on, or circumstances where we are in dismay, but show us our brothers and sisters right here in this fellowship who need our prayers. And let us believe with your faith concerning one another that ere this conference ends, you will have met the needs of every one of us through each one of us in a way that exceeds that which we can ask, hope, or think. Father, I dare believe that you can use me for anyone here in this group or everyone here in this group. I dare believe that you can use anyone here for me. And we're ready to experience the gospel, the good news, because it's paid for with your own blood. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. George, I think it'd be wonderful if we just sat for a moment and had a little prayer course.